Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Well, gentlemen, we're here in late May. I was going to say mid-May, but we're here in late May, and we already know who one of the two competitors for the Stanley Cup Final is going to be, and that, of course, is the Florida Panthers, back-to-back-to-back in the Stanley Cup Final. How do we feel about how the playoffs are going so far?
Considering it's been six straight years that Florida's had a team in the final, I don't know.
Six straight years, yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got Tampa Bay for three straight, now Florida for three straight.
They don't pay any damn taxes.
That's got to say something.
I did see somebody on Twitter today say it's Toronto's turn next, so hopefully that's
working
something you guys...
Working their way down the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And maybe move your way over to the Western
Watch it
side.
Skip and just go straight to Ottawa or something like that. That'll really screw with us, Paul.
So, honestly, this has been an interesting playoffs. I actually said on our group chat the other day that this has been both a frustrating and confusing playoffs, yeah. I found, where it's like you think one team is going to just take it all. I thought after that game that Dallas had against Edmonton in the very first game that it was like a no-brainer that Dallas was going to take it all the way. And here we are. Edmonton is currently up 3-1 in their series. They have a potential. Right now it's 3-1 after one period for yeah. them. They could take it to them and then go back to the Stanley Cup Final again, and we can see an Edmonton, Florida final one more time.
Rematch again?
It's funny because, you know, the way we see it, Florida does look like the heavier team when you compare the two, right? But is Edmonton that type of team where it's like you probably shouldn't underrate them? Like I've been doing literally all year where it just feels like they're winning because I'm cheering against them, right?
I would say looking at both of those teams, you've got quite the juxtaposition between the two of them, because Florida seems to be all about heart and grit and just kind of grinding your teams down, whereas the Oilers have quite the mix of that.
Yeah.
Right? They've got players that do sort of a little bit of everything, and they've, of course, with that star power and in the top end of their roster, with the mix in of the other guys, like, I'm curious to see how that final will go this year. What I did want to ask you guys, though, is are you surprised about Florida? And I don't mean that because of the Stanley Cup champions last year. What I mean is specifically the way they played down the stretch. Now I know there's injury issues, but are you surprised that Florida's kind of... I mean, I don't want to say they dominated the Toronto series, but there was parts of it they really did. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there's hardly any part of that series where Toronto completely dominated. It was even or slightly above for Toronto in the spots where they were playing well. But when Florida took over the game in that series, Florida took over the game. But in the other two series, they just basically dominated. Are you guys surprised? What do you think about that?
Considering there wasn't much of a roster turnover besides, you know, Lorenz, Stolarz, and Ekman Larson leaving.
Oh, where'd they go?
I'm not really all that surprised, to be honest. Like they've shown to be a hard team, I think. During the regular season, when you're dealing with injuries and you're dealing with whether you're on the road a lot, like the benefit to the playoffs is maybe you're on the road for two games, you're back home for two games. Like there's that ability to be home a little bit sooner, and I think that energizes your team too in the process compared to like in the regular season where you might be on the road for seven or eight games, which, you know, equates to 3 weeks maybe away. So I think that plays a part for them. The injuries obviously played a part. And now that they're fully healthy, they're... You know, the beast is out of the box kind of thing, right? They are showing their true colors. They might have had a slow start in Toronto, but Toronto came out gaming but couldn't handle the high pressure. You look at, you know, Florida, they are a high pressure team. They push the pressure on everybody. So it's really not surprising to see them in the final again. A little surprising to see them roll over Carolina, but still not surprising to see them in the final.
You know, for me, it feels like a little surprising just for the fact that they were in the final last year and the year before. You often wonder if there's ever going to be some sort of hangover with this team playing so late into the season, not having any time in the offseason to really, you know, take a break, quote unquote. So it's a little surprising to see them going this far the way they're going. But I think also that comes down to coaching and managing and management. The way they manage the roster throughout the playoffs almost you know, it feels like they're not the team they were last year. And then all of a sudden they come back and they show that heart and that grit that they have to come back and win it. So I think in the end, maybe we're underestimating them a lot of the time. And you look at them now, and this is the team we are kind of expecting at the beginning of the playoffs and at the beginning of the season. So yeah, it's not so much a surprise that way. But like I say, it's a little surprising when you consider the fact that they were already in the final 2 years in a row.
They work hard. But there's something about that team that just screams, I don't have a care in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, roll the dice. We're coming.
I wonder so much if it's I don't have a care in the world, or we just know we're the better team. Like, you know, like we just know we've got what it takes to win. And there's like an arrogance about them. And you've got a player like Brad Marchand on your team who obviously he's a rat, and he's going to be if Edmonton makes it into the finals tonight, for example, they'll be playing against Brad Marchand and Corey Perry, two what I consider two rat players. Right.
Yeah.
And two really good rat players. And obviously they're smart at what they do and they're good at what they do. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these teams match up.
Edmonton has a few guys on their team that can mix it up Perry a little bit. And I don't even mean fighting. I just mean be a pain in the rear
end.
They
really can. And Perry's not the only one, for sure. I mean, he thrives on it just like, you know, just like, what's his name? Kane, Evander Kane. Evander Kane.
Yeah, so, totally does.
And he's another guy who thrives on people just getting under people's skin and getting them off their game, right? Brad Marchand's the exact same way. It's what he gets paid to do.
I watched him a couple of times in the Toronto series after whistles. He did not stop talking from the offensive zone all the way back to his bench, and even then he didn't stop. And it was it's multiple times a game.
He knows what he's doing.
Like how can you have that much to say? Especially if you're only talking to one player.
You know, for the most part, he's probably repeating himself over and over again just to annoy the guys, right? And it works. And it does get them off their
game. Your mom is so fat. Your mom is so fat.
He probably has binders full of information, right?
Studies before the game.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. How to get under people's skin.
Maybe there's some favoritism in the front office. You know, Bettman trying to make the game grow in the South, or Gregory Campbell, you know, helping out the Panthers and penalties and suspensions and stuff. I'm kidding.
Controversy.
They're a team that's built for the playoffs, right?
So my son has developed this funny habit that he loves. So much so that my wife has given him the nickname of Brad Marchand. And it's somebody goes to put their hand in front of his face and he sticks his tongue out. And she calls him Brad Marchand because of it. It's his favorite thing. He loves it.
Next time I see him, I'm going to call him Marchie.
Yeah.
Marchie.
Yeah. So it's pretty funny. But no, it's definitely been a really interesting playoffs. And I mean, we can't obviously count out Dallas by any means. They have a chance to come back and still win this. It's tight. It's tight. I know. But, you know, they're only down 3-1 in this game. There's still two more periods to play. Well, by the time this podcast come out, we'll have our two final teams, and it'll be interesting to see.
You know, like Florida came back against Carolina in game 5 there. They were down 2 goals, so you never know. Anything's possible.
Carolina had a really interesting comeback series there with that one game on Monday where they ended up, was it a shutout? Like 3-0 game?
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, wow, maybe Carolina has a chance here. And then they ended up, Florida ended up coming back and winning the game on Wednesday there. So
the betting line doesn't look so good for Dallas right now.
Well, you got to wonder if that the Nietzsche still made the difference for them too. Like Stankoven's a good player. I don't think he's as good as Marty Nietzsche's.
I would love to have Stankoven on Vancouver though.
Yeah.
It's just that young talent, right? Like that's I think every team would say the same thing.
But. Yep.
Did you guys watch the end of the Florida Carolina game last night? Like, and I mean all the way to the end.
Yeah, with like Maurice the handshake. And Brindamore.
Did you guys see that interaction? When I saw that happening, I was like, "Oh, what's happening here?" Like, Brindamore looked ticked, and I mean, he just lost. Yeah. But I don't know the way he approached Maurice. I thought
Maurice said in the interviews or whatever at the end of the game that he was just saying that he didn't want to join the team in their handshake line. He wanted to do it separate because that's for the players.
Yeah.
Which is I saw somebody share that and then like share a picture of him last year
with the Oilers
with the team.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, but obviously the Stanley Cup's a completely different thing, right?
He did the same thing in the Toronto series and he said it. He said he explained why.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me, but I just, when I saw that exchange, I went, oh, I wonder my first thought was, I wonder if Brindamore was complaining about you know, some of the play or some of the lack of officiating or if he thought that there was a lack of officiating.
Yeah, or maybe like he didn't like something a player did on Florida or something like that. And that's what I was thinking too. And it seemed like he was pretty upset at Maurice, but
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe he's just upset at the fact that he lost, but I don't know. I mean, those are two coaches who I know respect each other, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a sort of like a brotherhood almost amongst the coaches in the league, right?
So now what happens? Is Brind'Amour gone? Is he coming back? He's going to be sought after if he doesn't have a job.
His contract is up in July, I believe, or June. And like he doesn't have a job at the moment. I mean, it seems to me a little crazy that Carolina wouldn't just re-up him because, you know, the guy took you to the finals and he's been a good coach for you for years and years. You know, it's not his fault. You guys haven't won a cup yet. There's a little bit more to it, but
could be a personnel thing, right?
Yeah.
Other than the coach. I do think he was outcoached by Maurice, to be honest, in that series. You know, if you look at the line changes, some of the mistakes Carolina was making. Brind'Amour is a fantastic coach, but Maurice has got, 30-something years of experience in NHL coaching now, or at least close to.
I think he's probably, I mean, it's hard to argue that he's not the best coach in the league right now.
We discussed it earlier in the year that he's fourth all-time in NHL wins.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even... I never would have guessed that. You could have given me 10 guesses.
When he was coaching the Leafs back then, can you see him in that light back then? You know, like, can you see the decisions he makes now and go, yeah, he was doing that with the Leafs too? Or
what I'd say when Maurice was coaching the Leafs is I wasn't watching it for that.
Right.
At the time, I didn't notice things like that. I didn't notice the game that, like, I didn't understand the game to the point the way I do now. As far as what impact a coach can have on a game. So I would say it's hard for me to really answer that question truthfully, but
it also depends on what players you have too, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's very clear that he's had success, right?
So he's had some good players on this Florida team too.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, it's interesting to see them kind of go where they are with it, where they're at right now. And again, they have some of the best players in the league right now on their team that are the best at what they do. And I compare it to Marchand to like the rest of the team. Marchand is one of the best in the league at what he does, and that's piss people off. He knows what he's doing, and it's you know, you can sit there and say that you hate the guy so much and blah, 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 blah. You don't want him to. This is how I feel about Edmonton. I don't want them to be in the finals, but you know what? It's probably going to happen. And it's inevitable. There's also a really good chance that they win the Stanley Cup this year. As a fan of another Canadian franchise, I have to kind of accept that. And
reluctantly.
That's how it is. I'm happy for people like Mike. If they do end up pulling off the win and bringing the cup home, after, you know, being the first Canadian team after 36 years, and they end up being the team, or 33 or 32 years, pardon me, and they end up being the team to do it, then I'm happy for people like Mike, because he's not one of those fans that like sits there and craps all over your team and, you know,
yeah, says, but he's had a couple of cup wins in his life already.
I know. That's one. And to be fair, that's the reason why I can't cheer for him. It's like, you guys have already had your chance. And when I saw, it's so funny, when I saw in the summertime people tweeting like, we're the unluckiest franchise in the NHL. I'm like,
no.
The Vancouver Canucks and the Toronto Maple Leafs have something to say to you when it comes to that, right?
You have the greatest hockey player in the world on your team twice.
You've won first overall four times in the past like 10 years. Yeah, you're not the most unlucky franchise. But you know, if they can pull it off, and if McDavid can actually captain this team to win a Stanley Cup, then good on him. I almost wonder though, and this may be a controversial take, I almost wonder though, if they win a cup this year, does that mean McDavid might decide to move on at some point here?
Why would he want to, though?
Well, because he's already won the cup here. Maybe he wants to go somewhere like Toronto or somewhere that and have a chance to win there instead.
But why?
I don't know. Maybe it's just, well, look at, like, Tavares. Look at Tavares.
But that's why?
Look what Tavares did, right? I don't know. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I didn't hear on the grapevine that this is a thing. But, like, you know, if Vancouver to win the Stanley Cup next year, maybe that would be Quinn Hughes' way of going, you know what, I've won a cup here, now I can go move on and play with my brothers. I'm just, you know, speculating.
He's got, like, a heated driveway, though.
Yeah, well, he could have that in Toronto, too. It almost would be more important to have that in Toronto, but that's a whole other thing. Anyways, just, you know, I think at this point in my sort of fandom, when it comes to the way I feel about Edmonton and stuff, like, I have to come to terms with the fact that there's a possibility they win the cup this year. And I'm going to be happy for people like Mike, who I think, you know, are real fans of the game, not just the team. And I think that's the thing I appreciate more. I can't sit here and go, you know, F the Oilers and their fans and everything, because what's the point? You know, in the end, if they win, they win. And that's just what it was meant to be. So
for national pride's sake, yeah, it'd be great to see the cup back, come back to a Canadian team. I can't say I'm a huge supporter of the Oilers either, but they're not my least favorite Canadian team. So,
And it's funny when you say that, the national pride thing, because, like, you know, when you compare, like, I would rather Dallas win for the fact that Jamie Benn's from Victoria.
Yeah.
I would actually have a chance to go see the cup. You know what I mean?
And I mean, obviously, I mean that on the team level, not
I know,
not the
I understand level. That. I'm just saying, like, they would get their parade. It's not like I can go to Edmonton and watch it. I could, but it would be, you know, expensive to drive, to fly or drive out there and
Think about it. In the next 2 years, both these teams could look different in terms of the star power that they have. You know, Bennett's a free agent this summer. His stock has gone up a lot during these playoffs, and even the last playoffs, he's got the most goals right now in the playoffs so far. So, you know, his stock has gone up. Florida might not be able to afford him.
I think you're right.
Same with McDavid next year. His contract's up at the end of next year. If he doesn't win this year, he might want to move on.
You have to think, though, that Edmonton will do whatever takes to hang on to it. He's literally the face of the team. He means more. I would say he means more than Draisaitl does to Edmonton.
Oh, definitely.
You know, Draisaitl is important to Edmonton, but I just think that nobody's more important than McDavid.
Draisaitl is about to become the highest paid player in the league on his next contract here, unless Marner swoops in and gets.
We're just hearing that a lot, aren't we? Just every player that comes into free agency, they're about to be the highest paid player
in the league. Well, there's always going to be, right? And the thing about it is the cap goes up now. We're in a phase now. We're about to see that, as I've learned last week. We're about to see the cap go up $9 million, which is like insane to think about. Because we're so used to the cap going up maybe $1 million, maybe not at all, you know, for like the last, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. It's just felt like a dead cap, right? So it's definitely interesting to see. A lot of teams are going to overspend and a lot of teams are going to overpay for, you know, for players that probably shouldn't get the money that they're about to get. But
confirm or deny, with what's happened in these playoffs, would CCM have completely dropped the ball if they don't go after Sam Bennett in the offseason to try to get him on like an elbow pad commercial? Like, isn't that a complete drop of the ball or drop of the puck, so to speak?
With a little soft spot on the elbow?
That's right. A little worn there.
I guess you could probably say the same for Gillette Shave Cream, you know, and shaving his head, right? So.
That's hilarious. Maybe you could do a special contract for certain players who dive as well, like some like swim goggles or something like that.
Have the paired McDonald's commercial with Michael Phelps.
Some swim shorts.
Yeah, hire Brad Marchand for
that would be
for
that's right.
Have a Chuck E. Cheese
or for blizzards. Apparently, it's come out the last couple of days that apparently he does blizzard runs for the
that's
team.
Right, I saw that. Yeah, that's sort of their tradition, right? That's so funny. I don't know. I think, you know, in the end of things, you kind of have to just look, especially if you're a fan and you're watching these teams play and you don't cheer for these teams and all you want is these teams to lose. I think you just have to come to terms with the fact that, you know, this might be their year. And I just think of myself in this scenario and, you know, I might be bitter about what happened last year with Edmonton, and I might not like Edmonton. I feel like, you know, the way I used to feel about the Leafs years ago. And I say this as seriously as possible. I feel that way about Edmonton now. I don't feel that way about the Leafs anymore. I don't feel like I hate the Leafs as much as I used to. And it's not, and it, maybe it's because of you guys. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I do this podcast with you guys. But they don't seem like the team that I once, you know, used to loathe because they were shoved down my throat all the time. It feels like Edmonton's shoved down my throat every time now I see this. Like these commercials that you're seeing now, it's constantly McDavid, and the Oilers, because they're such a good team, right? They are. Now possibly two years in a row in the Stanley Cup final.
Even in the commercials that Draisaitl does, he looks like a jerk there too.
I know. That's just his personality.
He just seems like a miserable person.
Maybe it's a German thing.
I think, you know, you look at the players that you might not like on this team and it's kind of like the new enforcer, right? You look at somebody like, I look at somebody like Evander Kane, and I would be like, you know, that's not a player I'd want on my team. But if it gets you to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row, and he may be a part of that reason why, then maybe it's not so bad to have a guy like that on your team. That's sort of like the way the league is, it seems to go now. It's just more pests than guys who kill people. So well, and to speak.
Getting hot at the right time, like Skinner is kind of playing out of his mind right now. That's
another thing.
He was like not doing good at all. Now he's
just blows me away.
Best in the playoffs.
I think Edmonton fans would argue too, like it's not so much Skinner's fault a lot of the ways.
Yeah.
In that the defense sort of collapses at the wrong time and they get some unlucky goals. But it blows me away to see Skinner be as bad as he's been, quote unquote, be as bad as he's been in those big losses, only to come back and get like shutout after shutout. It's just like, what? What's happening here?
Now, how much does luck play into that factor? Because I was talking to Mike earlier, and he gave us a little bit of a hot take on what he thinks about the Oilers so far. And he was saying something like, in the last two series combined, like Stuart Skinner's had, like, there's been 10 posts hit.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, and he would say that, you know, goalies would say, oh, well, I had the angle cut down. Like, yeah. Like, there's a little bit of puck luck there, right? Like, yeah. You can't deny that it exists.
It's literally a combination of positioning and luck, for sure. I mean, you've got to be in the right position for that to happen because you have to be giving them not much to shoot at. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, you've got to consider that as being lucky for sure. And, hey, good on them. If you can pull off, you know, a victory to get you to where you're at right now, you know. Obviously, it just blows me away how crazy it's been this, and that's what I mean. It's been so frustrating and it's been so confusing these playoffs where, you know, Skinner seems like he's not the goalie for Edmonton. And we said this last year, Skinner doesn't seem like he's the goalie for Edmonton. And then here he comes and he's taking them all the way again.
We talked about it in the offseason. We didn't think that they did enough to upgrade their team in goal specifically.
Yeah.
Not the offseason, but leading up to the season.
Yeah, and it really felt like Pickard was going to be the guy for Edmonton. Yep. And then he got hurt, and they brought Skinner back, and Skinner seems to have found his groove again. So
now is he just going to be hot this series and then go cold next series? That's the question, right? Yeah. He seems to be series-to-series kind of thing, where he's great for a few games, and then he goes cold, and then he's great again. So it's hard to say what the future looks like.
How is his temperament? Now, this is probably more directed at you, Joe, because you probably see more Oilers games.
Yeah.
But how's his temperament on the ice when he gets into a series, if, you know, hypothetically, if they make the finals, you get into a series where you've got grease balls like the Florida Panthers coming at you every single play.
Yep.
Is he going to be able to keep his composure? Or is he going to go full Jordan Binnington?
I've never seen him do the Jordan Binnington thing where he breaks a stick and gets all pissy about, you know, getting
tries
scored
to stab
on.
A guy.
Yeah, with his skate.
Albeit that should be the Stuart Skinner now, because Binnington showed he's got a level head after the Four Nations.
Yeah, I know.
Though, so.
Well, he didn't in the playoffs though. If you watch that goal in that goal that final goal they scored on him in the playoffs there. He definitely lost his marbles, but you know, it's definitely he seems more of the kind of guy who gets things between the ears, where he gets down on himself a little bit when he lets a goal in, because you can kind of see that with his body positioning, his posture, which, you know, he needs a goaltending coach that's going to help him kind of get away from that. You know, I don't know if that's a teachable thing or whatever, but that's what it seems like for me anyway. It just seems like he gets down on himself a little bit.
How big of a loss is Zach Hyman?
It's proven not to be a lot right now with the way that they're kind of cleaning up on Dallas at the moment. Again, game's not over, but it's not proven to be a lot.
Still
3-1
in the second period.
Yep.
Now, how big of a loss is Hyman if he doesn't play in the finals?
He's not going to.
I know that.
He had surgery. He's done for the season. I think he'll be a loss. I really do. I mean, it's important to have the depth that they have. So, like, they've got Jeff Skinner in there now for him, and seems to be playing well. I think he scored a goal, if I'm not mistaken. One of their three goals was scored by him. But, you know, can it last against a team like Florida?
Yeah.
You know, that's something we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's no argument that he's an important player on that team, for sure.
And the type of player that he is, specifically,
yeah.
Especially down low. I think Ekholm's playing tonight, too.
Yeah,
first game
debut,
back.
Debut. Yep.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about him coming back. I didn't see him playing, though.
That's a big gain if he's you know, even playing at half capacity.
Defenseman.
He's so good, yeah.
He's their best defenseman. I mean, you know.
And Jeff Skinner does have one of the goals tonight, and he's got the most shots on the team right now.
There you go. I mean, he's got to make an impact coming back, right?
Yeah.
This is his second ever playoff game. He's only played one playoff game, and that was the first game this season, and then they never played again. So it's definitely it's important for him to obviously make an impact.
Ken,
the team.
Was he worth letting go of Broberg and Holloway for, right?
Probably not. Hey, there's a commercial for there's a commercial that's important to me. The Abbotsford Canucks, by the way, just I have to interject here. The Abbotsford Canucks are currently on their way tonight to play. In fact, they're playing as we speak. Round number four of the AHL playoff. It's not on TV. You're not going to find it on TV. Oh, I see. You're not looking for it on TV.
Baseball, my friend.
Switch the channel to a baseball game instead. Abbotsford Canucks are playing the Texas Stars right now for the conference championship in the AHL playoffs, which is really exciting. This is the best the team has ever done in their history. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Really excited.
Sure.
Really exciting stuff. And I know back at home, Charlie's probably watching this game.
Why don't you go over and catch a game at home?
It's a plan. It's definitely a plan. We're Faye and I actually were talking that if they make the finals, we'll probably plan a trip to.
I thought they are in the finals, right?
No, they're in the conference finals.
Conference finals. Yeah.
One more round after this.
There's five rounds in the AHL?
Yes, but they don't play four rounds a series. They play best of five.
For the first
they play
two
best
series.
Of three for the first two.
Yeah.
Then they play best of five for the next one, and then the best of seven for the last two rounds. AHL is funny that way. The PWHL is the same. Actually, they do best of five for their series as well. The Minnesota Frost just won their championship.
Nice.
I say it was like 2 days ago. It might have been on Wednesday or it might have been on Monday. Pardon me. Coming up in a couple of weeks, not next week, but the following Monday, which is the 9th of June, I believe, is going to be the expansion draft where we'll see the Vancouver team and the Seattle team get to pick their teams in the expansion draft or their players in the expansion draft, which is kind of exciting. I will admit, I don't know a lot about the players in the PWHL. I know that there's players like Marie-Philippe Poulin and there's some big names in the PWHL. You're probably not going to see them picked up by either team, but you never know. You could see a trade or two, or you could see some big movement in the expansion draft. It's always exciting to see an expansion draft and see a team kind of envelop and become something.
Seems like a quick turnaround for that.
It is really quick. The championship was just awarded this week, so they've got like a 2 week break basically. Probably a chance for Vancouver and Seattle to go, okay, here's what we want to do, and then the other teams can kind of protect the players they want to protect. From what I understand, they can only protect four players on their team.
Oh wow.
So wow. Which you know is going to be their star players, and then maybe a goalie or two or something like that. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. And then I think right after that, it's like not long after that, they'll have the actual development draft, like the players they're going to draft into the league. And then you've got the off season for, you know, signing players who need to be signed. Their minimum contracts, from what I read, are only 2 year contracts. So when they sign like an ELC, for example, it's only 2 years.
Oh,
and then they have to figure out what to do from there. So, yeah, it's kind of exciting. It's exciting to see something, you know, becoming of just an idea of a team in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
And I'm still curious what their team is going to be called. I have a few ideas, but you just never know what they actually choose.
So they don't even have names yet, yeah.
No. Maybe they'll be the Golden Knights of the PWHL.
Yeah, really.
Never know, right?
Yeah. The Goldilockses?
The Goldilockses. Talking about, obviously, changes happening, and we're talking about playoffs and stuff like that. The NBA also has one team in the finals already. And the second ever Canadian to win a MVP award. Behind Steve Nash. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Is Steve Nash still coaching in the NBA? I know
No, I think he last coached the Nets, and I don't think he's had a job since.
Got you. Okay.
Just confirm that's Western Conference MVP, right? For OKC?
No, it's League MVP. He got...
Oh, no. OKC won the Eastern...
Yeah, won the Eastern Conference.
Eastern or Western? I'm pretty sure it's... Maybe it is Western.
I was just looking here. It looks like, yeah, GA was unsurprisingly named the Western Conference Finals MVP.
Go. Yeah.
But yeah, was he named MVP of the league as well?
He was the league MVP as well, so he was both of them. So
That's pretty crazy.
It is the West.
Yeah.
But
so who's left then? Who's still playing?
So the Pacers and the Knicks, and that's Siakam and OG Anunoby on opposite teams playing against each other.
So it's like, who do you cheer for?
The Pacers are up 3-1 right now in their series. They're playing tonight right now, actually, as it is.
Yeah.
I haven't caught too much of it, but I've been looking into Siakam, and he's been overpowering the series for them over the Knicks.
He's a good player, man. I thought he played well on Toronto. I thought he was a really good center. Good defensively as well.
Yep. Yeah. Know? Well, he was a big reason, to be honest, that the Raptors won the championship in 2019. Like,
that's right.
Obviously, Kawhi Leonard was the driver, but Siakam was like right behind him and in full support, right? Lowry was a defensive stud, but it was Siakam that was secondary in scoring for that championship run.
Brilliant guy, too. He speaks like seven languages or something, too. Yeah. Like, honestly, yeah. Yeah,
he's from like France or something, or
I think he's
Congo.
The Congo. Yeah,
and he was like picked 26th overall in his draft. Like they found gold in a mine.
It's really too bad they had to let him go. I thought he was going to be a lifelong Raptor, to be honest.
They chose it.
Yeah,
they got assets back.
Yes. Yeah,
but I mean, the Raptors made a decision that they were going to try to rebuild, right? And that was kind of the X factor, one of them anyway.
Yeah.
One of the X factors. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that series goes. Like right now, the Knicks are up 20 points on the Pacers right now in the third quarter. So, but a 20-point lead can actually diminish quickly in a few minutes in the NBA. So
it's like, don't even watch until you get to the fourth quarter.
But if the Knicks win tonight, they're going to go into a game six. So I think it'll be either team I'd be happy with. I would probably prefer the Pacers, just because I used to love the Pacers when they had Reggie Miller and those guys. So
I think of the Pacers is one of the teams I got to see play in Vancouver.
Nice.
When the Grizzlies were around and they had
Larry Bird.
Yeah, because me and my cousin would go Larry, and they were killing them. It was like Pacers, like Vancouver could have tried for three straight more hours to try and catch up, and they wouldn't. It was so terrible, but it was still fun to go to those games and see those players that you had only seen on TV, you know, and it was legendary. And that was the one thing I loved about the Vancouver Grizzlies. It didn't matter if they were winning or not. You got to go and see these big teams, you know, that they were playing against.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan came to Vancouver, you know, that must have been so cool to see live.
I'd love to see another Canadian team come back to the NBA.
Me too.
Whether it's Vancouver or Calgary or whoever it is.
Surprising me that it's taking so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because of how much it's going to cost, right? It'll be billions of dollars to be able to get a team to come to Vancouver.
Yeah, four, as we determined last
week. Yes, right. and that's not easy money to come by. I mean,
our economy.
There you go. Dallas just made it 3-2.
I mean, I did nothing.
Yeah, you're not cheering at all for Dallas. And that was Ekholm was in the box there.
Look at that jersey. That old Dallas Stars jersey. I think of Ed Belfour when I see that.
Nice.
I would think of
Darian Hatcher too.
Yeah.
That's when I think of
Yeah, I remember Darian. Mike Modano,
that's who I was thinking.
Yuri Lehtinen.
No, I'm thinking St. Louis. I was going to say, what's his name with his foot in the crease?
Brett Hull.
But that wasn't Dallas, was it?
Yeah, that was Dallas. That was Dallas. Okay. That won that championship.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, no, I think back, just going back to NBA for a second, I think back to, like, you know, the experience I had watching the Grizzlies play live. It was incredible. And at that moment, like when I went, I was a really big NBA fan because I had a team to cheer for, you know? And I think that's the one thing that the NBA is missing is they need a franchise where the fans are going to be passionate about the team they have. And, you know, I know that people weren't going to games, and that's one of the reasons why they had to sell the team in the first place. But I just know that, you know, if you let a team run itself properly, like they didn't let them run themselves properly back then, you didn't get a chance to get a first overall pick. They didn't, you know, they had all these stipulations against Vancouver that they couldn't really make them a good team. And that really hurt them in the long run. I mean, you know, Toronto was lucky in that. Probably having Vince Carter is probably what saved Toronto in the first place. If you can do the same for a team like Vancouver and get a team back again, I think it would be incredible for BC, but it would be incredible for the NBA too.
Yeah, honestly, I think there's a lot of revenue to be made having another Canadian team too in the NBA. A lot of marketing you do with that, right? So
I mean, like I said, just look at the PWHL women's hockey. They did the tour this past season where they went to all these different cities, and Vancouver had the most people show up to a game, like 19,000 people. Yeah. And the league was like, they took them by notice and said, you know what, we got to expand. We got to have a team in Vancouver. And now they've got a team in Seattle too. It's just, these are areas of the world that want a franchise, and they will show up to the games. They've sold season tickets. They're going to be, you know, a marketable franchise. It doesn't make sense to not do that in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know, I would tend to. There's more money to be made.
Tend to agree, and I think what the NBA is right now, a 30-team league. They could jump up to 32, kind of do the 8-8-8, you know,
yeah,
balance of teams throughout the conference and stuff. I think, yeah, I'd love to actually go to an NBA game. I'm sure that I probably could go to a Seattle game at some point, but, yeah, you know, you never know. But
Seattle needs to get a team back, too.
I was going to say, do you think if Seattle gets a team, does that increase the chance of Vancouver getting a team?
Maybe.
Just because of proximity.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, based on location alone, just to have, you know, two rivals against each other, I think that'd be important for sure. I mean, it obviously has shown there's something in the hockey market with the Kraken and the Canucks that there is something there as a rivalry, and this past season for me has shown that as a Canucks fan. There was a really long time there where it felt like Seattle was trying to push a rivalry between the two, but Vancouver was that much better than Seattle for a really long time. Like, they'd beat them every time. And then Seattle started beating Vancouver. Oh, it looks like Edmonton just scored again.
McJesus just scored.
Oh, well, there you go. But, you know, it just feels like there's definitely a market there for some sort of rivalry, even in the NBA. So.
Do you guys catch that?
No.
It was in Edmonton Square
with
the Oilers fans,
yeah,
and there wasn't a fight happening.
Oh, that can't
between
be
each other.
That can't be true.
I must have just missed it.
Well, typically, I think those happen after the game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, after they've had a few to drink. Give them another period at least.
Too many Molson Canadians.
Gosh. He's just, McDavid is so unbelievable.
So quick.
Just like, stop.
The hands.
It should just be illegal.
Yeah, I know. He has to wear one hand tied behind his back.
Yeah.
For the rest of the playoffs.
That, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago where they were playing against the Rangers and he went through 5 players to score.
Yeah. That's a pretty famous play now.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Pretty famous play now when you think about, like, you know, it's like Charlie, whenever he watches hockey highlights, he's always doing it. He's always looking on YouTube for hockey highlights. That's always the one he goes to when he watches, you know, Edmonton highlights or whatever. It's like that play. He's like, look, Daddy, look. I'm like, yes, son, I've seen them.
Thanks.
He loves to shove that stuff down my throat. Maybe that's why I don't like the Oilers so much. No, I'm just kidding.
I stopped by my parents' place yesterday, and my dad, who is, thanks a lot, the reason I'm a PTSD Leafs fan.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dad. but he told me, he said, I just ordered a shirt off Temu that says, please, just one before I die.
I know, right? Yeah. I think we all can say that.
Yeah.
Well, at least, like, so we can be proud. At least we've had at least one championship the last few years with the Raptors in terms of a Canadian team getting a win. So, you know, maybe Edmonton this year, maybe the Blue Jays in a few years. We'll see.
I'm
what
hoping
happens.
This year too, for me, when it comes to football, I'm hoping the BC Lions can pull it off this year. They have a really good team on paper. Yes. And right now they're currently in the preseason. They got one more game in the preseason, and then the week after is when they actually start the regular season. So I will definitely be going to a football game this year with my dad. So
I was listening to the radio the other day, and I don't know if they were talking about the preseason. I'm assuming probably not. It was more likely the home opener. Mm. But apparently Snoop Dogg is going to be the performing act for the opener.
Yeah. So
And I thought to myself, they better have a good ventilation system at NBC Place if Snoop Dogg is going to be the act.
I imagine he can hold it off for at least a little while.
I don't know, man. Yeah. He's going to want some of that BC Bud.
Yeah, true.
Some Pineapple Express.
He'll get it. But you know, it's sort of a thing with the new owner of the BC Lions, Amar Doman. He's had the team now for about 4 or 5 years. And the first year he took over the team, he tried to bring people back to the arena, or to the arena, the stadium, to come and watch the games. And the first thing he did was, I'm gonna do a concert for the first game as the home opener.
Yeah.
And that was with One Republic. And it was great. It was like huge. People loved it. And then it became this ritual. And now, like, the whole league has taken notice, and they're trying to do similar things, right? Like, let's have a concert. Let's do special, you know, events to bring kids back to the games and stuff like that. I think that's the thing that they need to look at, is how can we accommodate not just old school football fans, you know, because when they started this concert series, a lot of the old school fans are like, oh, this takes away from the football and boo, boo, boo. You know, it's like, no, guy, like, we're trying to bring more people to the games, and we need to appeal to younger people and have them interested in football again.
Yeah.
Because once the old people die, there's no more people to watch football if there's no, you know, if you're not appealing to everybody. And you know, it's something you really have to consider when it comes to like putting butts in seats, right? And it also helps to have a winning team as well. BC has had a really good winning team the last few years. They just have been missing certain pieces. This year it seems like they might have those pieces. So it's really exciting. I'm not going to say they're going to make the Grey Cup because nobody knows anything, but you know, it looks like they're going to have a good team this year. They have a new coach, you know, something to work off of. So
that's one thing I think we can be proud of as Canadians, that we do have two really well-known old cups.
Yeah.
Over 100 years old.
Cups, yeah.
Stanley Cup and the Grey Cup are over 100 years old. That's something I think it's something to be very, very proud about.
Absolutely. Tradition is a big thing in Canadian sports altogether, but specifically, you know, that. And then also I think if I'm not mistaken, curling has a really old championship as well. The Brier, I think it's over 100 years old too, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but that's something I think I've heard before.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, and, you know, the World Series with Toronto as well. I mean, it's not specific to Canada, but, you know, it's definitely, we have a Canadian team and they have won the championship 2 years in a row, 92-93. Those were very epic wins.
Yeah, so. They were good. They were fun teams to watch. I watched both years of the World Series when I was a kid. And
I remember Joe Carter hitting that home run. I was watching it live.
Oh, yeah.
And it was incredible. It was incredible.
Touch them all, Joe. You'll never have a better hit in your life.
And it's true.
Again, I mean, it wasn't before my time as far as being alive, but I was only six when the second time they won. I played ball as a kid, but I wasn't really watching sports really that much, so I never really got to experience that either. And I think back, and I can't even remember like my parents even talking about it or anything like I can't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just figured that maybe I would have some memories of some discussion or hearing it about it at school, or I mean maybe I did and I just don't remember. But you think. I don't know. As such a sports fan as I am now, you'd think that it would have had maybe more of an impact as a kid, but I just don't recall.
I remember one game. I didn't get to see it because I was in there was like scouts and Cubs and Beavers and stuff like that when you were a kid. I was in Cubs at that point, and we were out doing a camping trip. And the game that we were over here on the radio, the Blue Jays against the Phillies in the World Series, they were down like 14-2. And Toronto came back and won that game 16-15.
That's insane. Insane. That's not something you ever hear of. Like, you don't see stuff like that.
No, you don't.
Yeah. What's like an old sort of like TV show, maybe sitcom that you used to watch maybe when you were
back in the 90s?
Yeah.
Biggest impact would be Friends. Like my humor and my brother's humor probably are based completely around Chandler Bing. So
yeah. That's
hilarious. Yeah.
Could he be any stupider?
Stupider. Is the 90s has to be like the decade for sitcoms, right?
Oh, definitely.
I know there's some pretty great ones in the 80s too. I mean, you wouldn't know because you were just a baby, but
just a wee little gupper.
I remember certain ones. I mean, you know, The Simpsons, which I mean, you can call it a sitcom because it is a situation comedy.
Yep.
That started in 1989. Right. And then I think a show is like Married with Children. You know, it's hilarious. I grew up watching Married with Children, and most parents would be like, your parents let you watch that? It was a funny show. Even for a kid, I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was so much fun. And there's some great quotes, you know, it's just a fun show.
Well, Alice has like hand in his pants all the time.
just the way, and like, you know, Ed O'Neill does not get enough credit for that, for his comedic acting. I think he is a very talented actor. But I'll never forget, you know, watching him on Married with Children and then seeing him on like, you know, the Wayne's World movie and just being like, holy crap, that's Al Bundy, you know? Well, because that's all you remember him from.
You get to see some actors in terms of their acting range. You can see the same for Katie Sagal going from Married with Children.
She's been literally in everything.
Yeah. Sons of Anarchy, like completely Big Bang different.
Theory, yeah.
Yeah. Big Bang Theory, completely different type. Or even Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know, like completely different actress from what she was with Married with Children. You could say the same with Bryan Cranston going from Malcolm in the Middle, the dad, to Walter White in Breaking Bad, like two completely different characters, but incredibly acted for both.
100%. Do you have like maybe you would consider a Canadian-only show that you would used to watch. I had a ritual growing up as a kid. Like, I always went to bed after this show would air, and it was always on the CBC, and I won't name it yet. I'm just curious if there's something you would watch kind of in the similar realm.
I mean, the only ones that I can even think of would be, like, Fred Penner,
yeah,
Mr. Dress-Up, that kind of thing. Yeah. As far as an actual, like, sitcom go, I'd have no idea.
Mm. Are You Afraid of the Dark would be one.
Yeah. That's okay. Canadian?
Yeah, it's Canadian. Okay.
YTV, right?
Yep. Student Bodies.
Right. See, I grew up in a small town on Vancouver Island that did not have YTV.
Oh, cool.
I didn't get YTV until I moved to Nanaimo when I was 12.
You didn't even have electricity where you grew up.
We did. We had electricity. But we of course got CBC, so that's where we would watch our shows, specifically like these specific ones that we'd watch before we go to bed. So I would watch a cartoon called The Raccoons.
Yeah, I loved The Raccoons.
And then after The Raccoons, Degrassi High. Okay. And as soon as Degrassi was over, it was bedtime. So as soon as the credits start rolling, it was 10 p.m. That was bedtime every night. That was when we had to go to bed.
Right.
But we watched it religiously. It was like what we watched every night. It was like a family thing. We watched it as a family. And, you know, I watched all the serious episodes of it. And then I remember the very final episode, which was like the movie that they did where it was like... They graduated high school and it was sort of like their big celebration and the guy gets drunk and kills somebody, you know, like that. It was serious stuff, right? That was a big thing with Degrassi. Their whole point of the show was to sort of teach lessons to teenagers, and we watched it. And, you know, the director, Kevin Smith, he was a big fan of Degrassi as well because he lived in like kind of the Michigan area where they could pick up kind of CBC on there. And he watched that growing up.
I just can't picture your dad sitting down and watching it.
Believe it or not, I don't know if my dad did. I definitely watched it with my mom though. But yeah, that was our ritual. I would watch it and then go to bed right after Degrassi. Credits are rolling and you just, you know, they always ended it on a freeze frame and the credits roll over the freeze frame. And that's how you know the show is over and it's time for bed. So yeah.
I remember, and for me, it definitely introduced me to satire kind of comedy.
Yeah.
My parents used to watch The Golden Girls all the time when we were growing up. And
Golden Girls, like, we used to watch that show too. We used to watch Home Improvement.
Yep.
Absolutely love Home Improvement. Tim Allen is probably one of the Golden. More underrated comedy actors. He's a comedian, of course, but like underrated for what he did. And then, you know, we would watch Friends as well, of course. And then, I never got to watch Seinfeld growing up. It wasn't until I became an adult that I started watching it.
Yeah,
and I absolutely love that show.
I hated it as a teenager. Honestly, it's just because I didn't probably understand the comedy. Yeah. I found it like parts of it funny. Kramer could be kind of funny and Jerry could be kind of funny. Usually when Elaine was attacking Jerry, I would laugh kind of thing. But overall, I didn't understand it. I didn't like it as a teenager, but I kind of got reintroduced to it in my mid-20s. And I was like, oh, this is actually quite funny. I really like this.
I literally go to bed at night watching it on my TV in bedroom before I go to sleep. It's like we go to sleep to Seinfeld. It's just such a funny show.
I was just looking up the Rotten Tomatoes top, I think it's 200 sitcoms ever. And the like one, so out of the top 12, 11 of them, I've literally never even seen a full episode.
Oh, you got to tell
really?
Me.
I'm serious.
Yeah, go ahead.
Any guess as to what the number one rated show is? Sitcom?
I'll throw a shot in the dark. I'll say Third Rock from the Sun.
Not even in the top 12.
Okay.
Is it more of a recent show or older show?
It's an older show.
Friends?
Nope, but it's in the list. But it's not number one.
Okay. Okay, well, what's the number one sitcom? Let's think here.
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld is not... Is Seinfeld in there?
Seinfeld is in there.
Is it number one?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I Love Lucy.
Okay.
And that, kind of, they, that one kind of started sitcoms really in
it
general.
It really did. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I literally went to my parents' house the other day. My dad only watches like old recordings of TV shows. He's got them all on a thumb drive. So you come over to his house and he's plugged one in and he's watching. And it's always a black and white show. And I say to my kids, I'm like, look, Grandpa's got this huge 85-inch color TV and he only watches black and white shows on. And it's just so funny.
He doesn't have a forehead VCR and, you know, pre-recorded VHS tapes?
No, he at least he's more modern than that. He's got everything on a thumb drive, but geez. And it's all old shows like I Love Lucy, Gunsmoke, like these old shows that like I would never watch, but my dad's just obsessed with, right? And the storylines are just the worst. And you know, he loves them. So
show I used to love and probably doesn't get enough recognition, but it had great actors on it, was Three's Company.
Oh yeah.
I used to watch that all the time after school when I was in high school. I loved it. And it was from the 70s, yeah. But it was, you know, playing on reruns in the late 90s.
We used to watch that too, and then like WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
There was a show called Head of the Class we used to watch. Yep. There's probably more. I just can't think of it. Like we watched Cheers. You know, Cheers, from what I read, Cheers, actually, the final episode of Cheers had more viewers, almost, it's like the second most viewers for one episode of a show in the history of television. The first one is MASH. The final episode of MASH had more viewers than any show in the world. And that includes the Super Bowl, or maybe it doesn't include the Super Bowl. I think it doesn't include the Super Bowl. So like non-sports related or whatever. But you know, a sitcom, because MASH was a sitcom as well, had, you know, the most viewers for one episode.
You guys got to give me a sec here. Yeah, hi, Nanaimo Nursing Home. I got a couple of guys here that we need to check in immediately.
Geriatric.
Yeah, we're old guys. What did I tell you?
Number three on this list is The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Never seen an episode.
You've never seen The Simpsons?
I hate that crap.
Wow.
Can't stand it.
Wow.
Number four is Cheers. I remember seeing it on, like, scrolling through channels.
Let me ask you a question. What do you do when you wake up in the morning and just get out of the coffin you live in?
Shower, shave, brush my teeth. On Saturdays, if I was watching TV, it was like Ninja Turtles, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, like kid shows. I
was never allowed to watch The Simpsons as a kid.
Wow.
And then I just never gained interest.
I see.
Right? South Park.
You know what's funny? My aunt used to say that about my cousin. She used to say, like, he can't watch The Simpsons because it's too grown up. And it's like, it's a cartoon. Married with Children, of course. I totally understand that. But I was allowed to watch Married with Children, so I loved it.
I couldn't even reference it. Never seen an episode of that either. Yeah. I remember that my cousins were, because my mom and my aunt are very close.
Yeah.
And they've always have been.
Yeah.
My cousins were allowed to watch Simpsons and whatever show they wanted. And I remember them always referencing it. And I'm like, I want to watch The Simpsons. And I was like, you're not watching The Simpsons. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Your mom did not want you to conform.
Yeah,
to
I could watch
children.
Like From Dusk Till Dawn
with
my parents on a Friday night or something. Like, no big deal. You know, yeah, that's, exactly.
That's hilarious.
I remember when my parents would go bowling on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And let's say South Park was on MTV or whatever
channel was. Yeah,
I literally had like another show queued up so that I could hit the like previous channel button if they came home or something.
Like you're watching adults.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. It was like,
that's hilarious.
With obviously like enjoying like, you know, sitcoms. It was nice at least from the 90s going to 2000s that you could have shows that you could transition from one to the other. Like when Friends ended, it was sad because I'm like, well, what am I going to watch now? And literally the next year came. How I Met Your Mother came out.
Yeah.
And that really caught my attention. Big Bang Theory was only a few years after that to come out. And that
I was a big fan of Big Bang Theory. I liked How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get into it. Like, I didn't start watching until I was, until about 2010.
Okay.
When I moved to Vancouver. And I remember just thinking, I need something to watch. So I watched one episode and I was really into it. And
that one ran for 9 years. Like, Big Bang Theory ran for 13 years.
Yes.
Like, again, if you have that comedy that you can kind of relate to, it's really good. Like,
it's a fine line with situation comedies. It's like to make them last that long. Like, they probably could have ended Big Bang like 2 years prior,
well, kind of thing.
You know, like, but they just kept going.
And you're talking about keeping shows running, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, I found that to be a hilarious show.
Absolutely
with Andy Samberg.
Show.
But it got stalled for a few years because they didn't have anybody that could distribute it until Netflix took it over was able to finish it off.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Yeah, like, it's good to find those transition shows. I haven't lately found too many transition shows to watch, had long period there. I'm like, I at least had one show I could watch that make me laugh.
So what's a show that you're watching now that maybe the audience doesn't know about that you'd like to promote, say a situation comedy specifically?
I don't really watch comedies.
Yeah,
if I'm being honest with you.
So is there an older show than comedy wise that maybe you will
there's tons that I watched as a kid.
Well, for like sure. Something that you might look back now at, and
I mean, Friends for sure. But yeah. And I was late to the party on Friends. Right.
Yeah,
I didn't start watching it till probably the early 2000s, and that time it was kind of reruns, and it was all over the place. So I didn't really get to experience kind of the timeline of Friends. I just kind of caught whatever, whenever.
Yeah.
And then Tiff and I tried to watch it from the beginning, years and years ago. And we were interested at first. She kind of lost interest a little bit, and I mean, I'd seen a ton of it, so it didn't really matter to me at that point. But I mean, that's the big one. I would say Friends is kind of a no-brainer. Actually, on this top 12 list, that's the only one that I've seen episodes from.
Right.
That's the show that I have seen episodes from. And I would like to think, I mean, I don't know for sure. I think I've seen most of them. Mm-hmm. At least at some point in my life. But I mean, we're talking shows like Cheers, MASH, The Office, Taxi. What? The Office is on here twice? That's true.
Well, there's an American and a UK version.
Oh.
I was looking at comedies now. It's definitely on the dark comedy side, but on Amazon, The Boys is a really, really good one to watch. Mm-hmm. It is a very, very dark turn on superheroes.
Yeah.
And there's definitely comedy in it, but it's quite gruesome to watch too. Yeah. So, if I was finding something now that was along those lines, it would be probably The Boys. I remember watching, again, I liked Frasier, not necessarily in Cheers, but when he had his own show.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at first because it was too kind of like poshy almost in terms of the way they talked.
I would agree with that.
Once he got into like the hijinks of what Kelsey Grammer actually does with this character, same with his brother.
Nice.
Is it David Hyde Pierce, I think it is? Once he actually got into understanding their hijinks, they're actually quite funny. And I liked actually David Hyde Pierce's and Daphne's relationship in that show.
Yeah.
So it made it really easy to watch.
There's always, it seems like whenever there's a sitcom specifically, there's always a will they won't they, right? Like it was like that on Big Bang Theory. You know, it seems like every sitcom you think about, there's always a will they won't they, and they think that's what keeps them going, really. You know, they try to drag it out as much as they can until they realize they can't do it anymore, and then the will they won't they either gets together or they don't, you know, in the end.
But, and like sitcoms, especially comedies, you can kind of, I mean, I don't know. Maybe your guys' experience is different than mine, but watching Friends, for example, it didn't really bother me when it ended.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. Or I'll give you another example here in a second. I'll explain. But when you get into a drama series or like a thriller series or something like that, when it ends, for me now, I'm kind of like,
I need more.
What do I do? Yeah. What do I do with my life now, right? And then whereas I think back to, you know, like comedy shows, like you just watch them to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Sons of Anarchy, a big example for me, it's my favorite show, which, by the way, I'm watching it again right now when I can. It's like I invest myself in it. Like, it's just one of those things where I'm scrolling through this list of sitcoms. The next show that I can see on here that I've actually had some resonance with and seen some episodes of is number 57 on the list. And it's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Nice. Yeah. Great show.
So we're running out of time. Let me just give you my quick sitcoms, and then we'll have to wrap up the show here. But the sitcom, there's two sitcoms in particular that are currently playing right now that I'm really into. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of my favorite comedies out there. It's been going on for like 13, 14 years, 15, not even 15
years. Yeah, it's
pretty
close to that now.
And then the other one is actually, I just started watching, like, this is the first season for it, but a show called Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage. It's a spinoff of Big Bang Theory. It's actually a spinoff of a spinoff. So Big Bang Theory's prequel, which is Young Sheldon.
Okay.
That show just ended, I think, last summer or something like that. And this is a spinoff, a sitcom spinoff of that show with his big brother Georgie and the woman he marries named Mandy. They have a baby together, and it's sort of like all this hijinks and stuff. And I don't know, I've just kind of gotten into it. I'm an emotional viewer when it comes to watching shows. And like Friends, when it ended, I cried, you know.
Yeah.
I got emotional. Yeah. I was I like that too. With How I Met Your Mother and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you try to relate to the characters, and it just sort of, that's where it hits you the most, right? So
what I find kind of cool about those shows that are long lasting is the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. Very much when you remember when it first started to how things have changed so much at the end, and it's just, you think back and then you watch it a second, third, fourth time, and you're still picking it. I forgot that happened, you know, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, especially with those reruns.
Yeah.
Speaking of the journey, gentlemen, we have journeyed through to the end of the episode.
Okay.
It's been another great episode. Lots to talk about, obviously. And I want to pick up some more next week with maybe some talk on the CFL football season that we're looking at ahead here, and then maybe some more hockey talk.
We'll have a concrete idea of how hockey's going to end.
We know what the final round will look like, that's for sure. Twitter. Once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next episode.